Having settled his mother and his sister once again in the apartments of the kind-hearted Miss La Creevy, Nicholas turns his thoughts to poor Smike.
Smike, I've come to take you home.
Home?
Aye. Why not?
I had such hopes once. Day and night, I longed for home till I was weary. And I pined away with grief. What now?
Well, what now, old friend?
I could not part from you to go to any home. Except one. When I die, if your hand places me in the grave, then if you came once in a while to look upon that grave with one of your kind smiles, then I could go to that home almost gladly.
Smike, you told me your life is a happy one with me.
Well, it is,
then
it is.
Don't talk of such things. Why, here's a dismal face for my pretty sister to see. I don't think much of your Yorkshire gallantry. Is this how you speak to ladies?
No. Well, I don't know.
Of course it isn't. Now, when I talk of home, Smike, I talk of mine, which is yours also. Come, let us go there.
Good evening, everyone.
Mama, this is Smike, the friend I have been wanting you to meet.
Ah, yes, Mr. Smike. He is from Yorkshire, is he not?
Yes, Mother. I see you have not forgotten his sad history.
No, indeed. You don't happen ever to have dined with the Grimbles at Grimble Hall, do you, Mr. Smike?
No, Mrs. Nickleby. I'm sorry, I never have.
My dear Mother, do you suppose that an unfortunate outcast of Dotheboys Hall was likely to receive many invitations from the gentry in the neighbourhood?
Really, my dear, I don't know why not. When I was at school, I went at least twice every half year to the Hawkinses at Taunton Vale. So you see, it's not so very unlikely at all.
No, of course not, Mrs. Nickleby. What was Taunton Vale like?
Well, it was a charming spot.
As Smike is an excellent listener and Mrs. Nickleby an even more accomplished talker, the two are immediately placed on the very best of terms. And an extremely pleasant evening is had by everyone. And yet Nicholas wishes things might have been different.
It is not right for my family to be living in Miss La Creevy's cramped apartments in this way. Kind-hearted as she is, we cannot stay here forever. It falls to me to find work and provide for my family.
True to his word, the very next morning Nicholas visits the register office to begin his search for an opportunity in life. And as he stops to look in at the window, an old gentleman happens to stop too. He has such a jolly old face that Nicholas feels he could stand there and look at him until nightfall.
Hey, great. Many opportunities here, wouldn't you say, sir?
A great many people willing and anxious to be employed have thought so very often, my dear sir.
Well, I am certainly willing and increasingly anxious to be employed.
Are you indeed? Are you indeed? And tell me, if you will, this black coat that you wear. Are you in mourning?
Alas, I am. My father passed away recently.
Oh, dear, dear. I'm so sorry. So very sorry. It is a bad thing for a young man to lose his father. A very bad thing. Do you have a mother?
Yes, I do. And a sister and a young friend, all entirely dependent on my exertions.
I see. I see. Tell me your history, Mr.
Nickleby.
Mr. Nickleby. Let me hear it all from beginning to end.
There is something so genuine in the way the old man asks for this information, and such a complete disregard of conventional restraints, that Nicholas cannot resist it.
Well, I grew up many miles from here
and
with my family.
He recounts the main points of his little history without reserve.
And that's why I have come here today, looking for work to support us all.
The old gentleman smiles, pats Nicholas on the back, and draws his arm through his own.
Don't say another word. Not another word. Come along with me. We mustn't lose a minute.
But, sir,
don't say another word, my dear sir. Not another word.
Where are you?
Another word.
At length, they arrive at a house of business. The inscription on the doorpost says, Cheerable Brothers. And Mr. Cheerable, for so Nicholas supposes him to be, leads Nicholas into an office, where another old gentleman sits, the very type and model of the first old gentleman.
Brother Ned.
Yes, Mother?
Here is a young friend of mine that we must assist.
Oh.
We must make inquiries into his statements. And if they are confirmed, as I feel assured they will be, we must assist him, Brother Ned.
Oh, no, it is enough, Brother Charles, that you say we should. No inquiries are needed. He shall be assisted.
Dear word, brother, if you please.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Yeah.
As the brothers plot and plan, Nicholas looks around him. It is obvious that the Cheerables are merchants, and it is obvious that they are successful ones, and it is about to become obvious that they are extremely generous. By the time they have finished whispering, they are proud to announce...
Mr. Nickleby, Brother Ned has an idea.
Oh, no, it is your idea, Brother Charles, and it is an excellent one.
It is indeed excellent, dear.
Which is why I can be sure it is yours, Brother Ned.
No, I can see we shall never agree on this, Brother Charles, never.
Perhaps not, Brother Ned.
But one thing we are agreed on, dear brother, is that we shall employ this young gentleman into the counting house.
Indeed we shall.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we shall start him on a salary of £120 per annum.
This is far, far more than I deserve or ever expected.
No, not at all. And I think that if we were to let Mr. Nickleby's family that little cottage at Bow at something under the usual rent, Brother Ned?
Oh, my dear sirs, you have made me so happy.
Oh, for nothing at all, my dear brother, for no rent at all. And then I might secretly advance a small loan for furniture, and you might secretly advance another small loan, Brother Charles. And if we find them doing well, we can change the loans into gifts. What do you say to that, Mr. Nickleby?
I can find no words to thank you.
An agreement, I take it? Yes. Very good. Mm-hmm. A very good day's work, Brother Ned. Welcome to the firm of Cheerable, Mr. Nickleby.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, sir.
And so, in one short week, Nicholas takes possession of his position, and Mrs. Nickleby and Kate and Smike take possession of the new abode. And all is hope, bustle, and happiness.
This is all perfect. Mm. At last, the Nickleby family has met with some luck. Mother, once we are settled here, we must introduce ourselves to our new neighbours.
Oh, I believe I am already acquainted with one of them.
Oh, yes? Who is that?
The gentleman in the next house. There can be no doubt that he is a gentleman. He has the manners of a gentleman and the appearance of a gentleman. Although he does wear smalls and grey worsted stockings. Perhaps he's proud of his legs. I don't see why he shouldn't be. The Prince Regent was proud of his legs.
If the Prince Regent is living next door to us...
Oh, don't be foolish, Nicholas. I am trying to tell you something important. It's difficult enough for a lady to discuss such matters with her son.
Indeed? What matters are those?
Well, you may be quite surprised. Although I don't know why you should be. In fact, it's not surprising at all, really.
Mother...
came upon me like a flash of fire and almost froze my blood.
What did, Mama?
I am trying to tell you if you'd only stop your infernal chattering. The bottom of his garden joins the bottom of ours. I used to think he stared, rather, but thought as we were newcomers, he might be curious to see what we were like. But when he began to throw his cucumbers over our wall...
He did what?
He threw his cucumbers over our wall and what? Vegetable marrows likewise.
Well, confound his impudence. What does he mean by that?
I don't think he means it impertinently at all.
What? Cucumbers and vegetable marrows flying at the heads of my family and not meant impertinently. Why, Mother?
His attentions are, to a certain extent, of course, a flattering sort of thing. And although I should never dream of marrying again with a dear girl like Kate still unsettled in life...
What? Surely, Mother, such an idea never entered your mind for an instant.
Yes, isn't that precisely what I am saying, if you'd only let me speak? But... what I want to know is, what is the best step to take so as to reject these advances civilly and delicately, without hurting his feelings too deeply and driving him to despair?
Now, do you think, Mother, that if he is asked to keep his cucumbers to himself, it would all be too much for him to bear? That you might break his heart?
Upon my word, I do not know. I am sure there was a case in the paper recently about a French shoemaker who was jealous of a young girl in the next village and who went and hid himself in the wood with a sharp-pointed knife and killed himself first and then all her friends and then her.
Mother.
No, killed all the friends first and then herself and then himself, which is frightful to think of. somehow or other. They always are. Shoemakers who do these things in France. I don't know how it is. Something in the leather, I suppose.
But this man, who is not a shoemaker, what has he done? What has he said? There is no recognised language of vegetables which translates a cucumber into a formal declaration of love, Mother.
Oh, Lord Nicholas, my dear, do you suppose I don't know when a man's in earnest? First, there are the presents come pouring over the wall every day. I thought I might pickle some tomorrow for winter. And last evening, he called gently over the wall and proposed marriage and elopement.
And now, does Kate know this?
I have not said a word about it yet.
Then, for heaven's sake, do not. And with regard to what you should do, my dear mother, do what your better sense tells you to do.
Yes, well, sadly, it's not the first time I've had to break a man's heart. I remember when I was 16. No, wait, I must have been 15. Nicholas? Nicholas? Where has he gone?
Smike, still out here in the garden? You're not working yourself too hard, are you?
No. I like to do it.
You've done a very good job. It looks better already. And so do you. Look, there's colour in your cheeks at last.
And Kate seems very happy too.
Yes, you're right. The step has lightened. The colour has returned to her cheeks. She looks quite
beautiful.
Indeed. Well said. And healthy too. And
pretty.
Well said again, Smike.
Nicholas is unaware of the growing feelings that Smike has for Kate. He is also unaware that his own heart is soon to be captured by a beautiful stranger.
Mr. Ned, is Mr. Charles alone in his office?
Oh, yes, I do believe so.
Then I'll take this letter to him at once.
Perhaps you might...
Mr. Charles, this letter came...
Nicholas stops in his tracks. Mr. Cheeryble is not alone. There is a young lady upon her knees, crying at the feet of Mr. Charles.
I am sorry, I thought you were...
Please, Nicholas, help the young lady to her feet. Dear, pass me a glass of water for her.
Nicholas rushes to the young woman, puts his arms round her slender body, and lifts her quickly and easily to a chair. She looks up at him, and Nicholas sees her face for the first time. Though full of sorrow, it is the most beautiful face Nicholas has ever seen.
Thank you, Nicholas. You may leave us now. And will you ask Brother Ned to come in?
Amazed by the beauty and the striking sadness of the young lady's face, Nicholas stands stock still, bereft of the power to either speak or move.
Nicholas, could you fetch Brother Ned? Brother Ned?
Yes, of course, straight away, Mr. Charles.
Nicholas does as he is asked, but to his disappointment, the door is then closed firmly but politely, leaving him on the outside and the beautiful young lady within. Nicholas thinks of nothing but the unknown young woman from day to day and hour to hour, and it is not long before he comes to an important conclusion.
I am in love. She is the most beautiful girl in the world. And I am in love with her.